Welcome to WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM on your dial. Next up, Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only queer radio hour. Hold on tight. And thank you so much for listening to WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM on your dial, streaming at WRFG.org. And it is 2022, my friends. Welcome to Alternative Perspectives. This is Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community. I am your host, Greg Bossen. First of all, thank you so much to Sharon, who subbed for me for the last couple of weeks. And thank you to the listeners for listening. Before I go any further, as usual, the opinions expressed here are those of myself and my guests and do not necessarily represent the views of WRFG, its employees, board, volunteers, funders, or listeners. So I hope everybody had a good holiday. Things were quite stressful. I myself went to New York because to me, it's safer to be in New York City than it is to be in Atlanta. Let me tell you something. In New York City, they are not playing when it comes to COVID. So first of all, everybody's masked, even outside, everybody's masked. Now, that may be because, quite honestly, it's simply warmer to have a mask on. It's fairly cold up there in New York, although it seems to be cold down here in Atlanta since I've gotten back as well. But anyway, maybe because of the keeps you warmer to have the mask on. But additionally, in addition to everybody being masked, even outside in New York City, you can't get into a store. You can't get into a restaurant. You can't get into a bar. You can't get into anywhere unless you have a vaccination card and an ID with a name that matches that vaccination card. So I felt safer up in New York City than I did here in Atlanta, where everybody is crazy. Which brings me to the COVID stats. I am quite sure that if you didn't know very many people that had COVID before, you certainly do now. Everybody and their brother is getting this new Omicron variant. The good news is it seems to be not as harmful or not as dangerous as the Delta variant. And so the hospitals, although they are being filled with COVID patients, it's not to the extent that it was with the Delta variant. So that's good. But just to kind of let you know, we keep track of these COVID stats here on the show here. And the 7-day average as of yesterday was 14,343 new cases a day in Georgia. That's your 7-day average, 14,343 cases. And just to kind of give you some context for that, back in August when we were having the surge from the Delta variant, the 7-day average was only 8,700. So we almost have a twice as high 7-day average. So it's through the roof. And unlike the Delta variant, this Omicron, this case average is woefully low in terms of how it comports with reality. Because, as you know, there are the at-home tests, which if you can get your hands on them, and a lot of people have, you can take the test at home. These numbers here do not include any of the at-home tests. So everybody's getting COVID now. Even if you've been vaccinated. Now, if you've been vaccinated, chances are you're not going to get that sick. Probably not telling you anything you don't already know. But the good news, I'm hopeful that this will be the last hurrah of COVID because, I mean, the more people that get it, the more immunity is built up over time and the less virulent the strains seem to be as they go forward. So that's good. So glad to glad I'm trying to look at the positive. But for the rest of January, folks, it is COVID central for sure. So tonight's show, I found something that I thought was interesting. I wanted to kind of cover last year, and I did find something, and I'm going to highlight what I think the top 10 queerest moments are in politics for the year 2021. This is kind of a big year. A lot of stuff happened. And so the queerest moments, meaning the things that occurred that were the most relevant and important for us in the LGBTQ community. So we're going to go over those. But before we do that,
news of the queer.
I know that's right.
Oh, no, she didn't say what?
All right. So we're going to start with a local story that is good, I guess. A Georgia prison, this is in Valdosta, has settled a lawsuit with a family of a trans woman for $2.2 million. So amend an ongoing federal investigation into the way Georgia treats LGBTQ plus incarcerated people, the family of one transgender woman who died under the guards' noses in Valdosta has settled their case. Jenna Mitchell's parents filed the lawsuit in 2019, claiming that Valdosta State Prison officials ignored their daughter's mental health crisis and, quote, encouraged her to commit suicide moments before she ultimately did. Jenna died in Valdosta State Prison because the prison and its employees failed to keep her safe, according to the complaint. The settlement, apparently Valdosta agrees because they have settled for $2.2 million. And this lawsuit settlement came exactly 2 years after parents Sheba Marie and Jeff Spiva filed their complaint. The suit named the facility's warden, the corrections officer on duty, the Georgia Department of Corrections, and the Georgia Board of Regents. It claimed that the defendants violated Mitchell's civil rights under the U.S. Constitution, as well as her rights under the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Rehabilitation Act. The lawsuit said Mitchell suffered from schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and gender dysphoria. She remained in a men's prison despite approval for medical gender transition. The state claimed solitary confinement was a fair compromise, and it ignored blatant and specific warnings that Jenna was considering suicide. Jenna died by suicide while housed in solitary confinement because the defendants were deliberately indifferent to her serious medical needs and failed to accommodate her mental health disabilities. Mitchell's mother called Valdosta State Prison on December the 2nd, 2017, and told an employee that Mitchell threatened suicide. She implored the prison to please put Mitchell on suicide watch, according to the complaint. Officials did not put her on suicide watch. She told the corrections officer she was going to hang herself, and he did nothing to stop her. Instead, the defendant verbally taunted and encouraged Jenna to commit suicide, according to the complaint. Attorneys for Mitchell's parents claimed that at least one inmate told the officer that Mitchell was taking steps to commit suicide. The defendant laughed and shouted down the cell block that Mitchell should wait until he returned before committing suicide because he wanted to see it happen. Mitchell then hanged herself. She remained in a coma for 2 days before dying. The suit alleged a falsified incident report that the warden knowingly signed. The director of the ACLU of Georgia spoke about this when the parents filed suit. And this is from the director of the ACLU. People who are transgender already face a heightened risk of suicidal ideation and other mental issues because society attacks their very existence. People who are transgender are already more likely to be viciously attacked, and we must do what we can to protect the most vulnerable among us. The civil suit resolution leaves open the opportunity for the Justice Department to pursue criminal charges against the individual defendants. There is no question that they should. Even a record-setting civil recovery cannot begin to repair the damage caused by this horrific event. This is from plaintiff attorney David Shanies, who told this to NBC News. It also leaves open the five-year-long Department of Justice investigation into systematic mistreatment of Georgia's transgender and gay incarcerated people. Good. This is a $2.2 million settlement, but doesn't really resolve the issue of how trans people are treated, not only in prison, but just in general. I'm going to go directly to another story having to do with transgender. With 2021 poised to be the deadliest year on record for violence against transgender or gender nonconforming people living in the United States, one local nonprofit is stepping up its efforts to provide safe housing. This is in Tucson, Arizona, for Tucson's transgender women of color. As of December the 4th, 50 transgender or gender nonconforming people have been fatally shot or killed through other violent means, according to the Human Rights Campaign Fund, an LGBTQ advocacy group and political lobbying organization. In previous years, the majority of victims were Black and Latinx transgender women, the organization says. So this 50 transgender, this was only as of December 4th, so it may have gone up since then, but this is up from 2020's record of 44 fatalities, making 2021 the most violent year on record since the Human Rights Campaign began tracking such crimes in 2013. While the details of the cases differ, data has shown that fatal violence disproportionately affects transgender women of color, especially Black transgender women, and that unequal access to resources, including housing, increases their likelihood of being victims of crimes. So, and you know, I just want to say on a personal note, it's so interesting to me how upset some individuals get at someone who considers themselves transgender or non-binary. Anybody who indicates that they are other than a man or a woman, somehow this is so upsetting to people, like Marjorie Taylor Greene as an example. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. But I tell you one thing, I absolutely love making these people upset. So I'm not trans myself, but thank you to the trans community for standing up and saying who you are. And thank you to all of the youth today that consider themselves fluid or non-binary. It really kind of helps to remove the shackles of gender roles, which is really what I'm all about. I am growing up as a gay man. I was effeminate in a lot of ways, and I felt a lot of shame around it. Didn't play sports, wasn't really very masculine in my demeanor, didn't act like other boys, you know, and I felt a lot of shame around it. And what I've since discovered is that these roles, these definitions of what you're supposed to be if you're a boy versus a girl, if you're a man or a woman, these roles of what you're supposed to do or what you're supposed to be are very confining, very restrictive. And they provided me with a lot of shame growing up, which I don't appreciate. And it's made for a very challenging life. And so I love pushing against that. And actually, we got one more thing that I found was interesting in relationship to the youth today. A recent study from Scientific Reports interviewed 180 students who identify as straight. The students were divided into two groups, with each group shown a different study. And then they were asked about their sexuality. So this is a study to determine how being exposed to information about sexuality, what effect it has on people's definition of their own sexual identity. So anyway, one study in this study presented evidence that most people are attracted to both men and women in reality. Okay. The results were obtained by measuring pupil dilation as participants watched male and female adult films. And so basically they took 180 straight students and they measured pupil dilation. And they found that there was pupil dilation for both men and women, even though these people considered themselves straight. So that was interesting. All right. So here's another study. This is interesting as well. Let me see. Okay. This was a study that was performed with 460 straight participants from varied walks of life. They were split into three groups. Each one received an article on either sexuality as a continuum, sexuality being fluid, or climate change. Okay, so they had three articles, and each student received one of the three articles, each participant. And two of them were on sexuality, and the third one was on climate change. So in the follow-up interviews, so after they reviewed the, after they read the articles, they were interviewed. And 36% of those who received the continuum article identified as not 100% straight. 20.6% of the fluidity recipients identified as not 100% straight, but less than 10% of those that received the climate change article identified as not 100% straight. So so what that basically tells me is that, and it tells the participants or the those who created the study, is that it means two people with identical sexual orientations could describe their sexual orientation quite differently depending upon whether they have been exposed to fluid or continuous ways of understanding sexuality. So again, knowledge, understanding is helpful here. So if we can expose people to the idea of sexuality as something that exists on a continuum, some people are only attracted to the same sex, some people are only attracted to the opposite sex, but the vast majority of us exists somewhere in between. Usually we're moved much towards being straight or more towards being gay, but you know, it exists on the continuum. Once you understand that, then it becomes much harder, I think, for most of us to say that we're 100% gay or 100% straight. So I think that knowledge will be helpful in the long run. So I think that's actually really cool. All right. So I have some other things that I wanted to talk about, but we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll do a little bit more on the news. And after that, we will move into the 10 queerest moments. I love that. The 10 queerest moments of 2021. And we will be right back.
On January 22nd, four-time Grammy-winning Beninese singer, songwriter, actress, and activist Angela Kidjo returns to the Rialto Center stage for the first time in over a decade. Angela Kidjo live at the Rialto Center for the Arts at Georgia State, Saturday, January 22nd at 8 p.m. Tickets information is available at rialto.gsu.edu. That's rialto.gsu.edu. This has been an other public service announcement brought to you by your community radio station, WRFG, Atlanta.
All right, and we are back. To those of you that are just joining us, you are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta's 89.3 FM. This is Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting the queer community. And we are going over some news items that are really important, and then we're going to get to the top 10 gayest things of relevance that happened in 2021. But I do have a little bit more news. I'm Greg Boston. I'm your host. Thank you so much for listening, by the way. And let's see, picking up on the news, let's see what I wanted to discuss here with you. All right. This is interesting. This is coming out of Richmond, Virginia. Talia, a 14-year-old transgender girl, looks and acts like any teenager growing up in Chesterfield County, Virginia. She loves YouTube and TikTok and texting her friends. She listens to Cardi B, Doja Cat, and Beyonce, of course, she says. She loves to roller skate at Skateaway and can dance hip-hop, jazz, and ballet. She likes to style hair and taught herself how to braid her own long black locks. She's pretty and young, smiling easily with warmth and laughter, even when she tells a nightmarish story of how her father beat her horrifically when she started coming out as gay at 12 years old. And I wanted to read this because I want you to know this stuff is still happening. He punched me in the face four times, twice on either side, said Talia, looking down at the beloved iPhone in her hands. Then he got the belt and beat me until I bled. When the police arrived to her father's home in Hopewell, she was taken to a hospital where a woman from foster care told her, "You're going to be all right. We're going to put you in a different home." There are over 5,400 children in the Virginia foster care system, according to the State Department of Social Services website. Roughly 30% of children in foster care nationally identify as LGBTQ. That's almost a third of children that are in foster care are queer. And these children are often kicked out of their biological homes, ending up in foster care because their biological parents didn't accept their sexuality. LGBTQ plus youth face housing instability at disproportional rates. These people cannot thrive if they do not have access to safe, affirming, and stable and a stable environment, says Jamie Nolan, the co-executive director of Side by Side, a local group dedicated to supporting LGBTQ plus youth. Unfortunately, too often we see families who turn away from their children when they choose to come out because of a lack of information or understanding about who their child is. That's what happened to Talia when she was 12, when she was a 12-year-old boy, and her name was Tyrone. But life did get easier once foster care stepped in. Talia went to one foster care family and then another. She didn't get along with her foster care siblings. She acted out and got into fights. Tensions kept building. Nothing felt like home. Everything was temporary. LGBTQ youth need allyship and support from their parents, especially for youth in foster care. If they are coming into a foster home that is not affirming, that's an added trauma, says Jess Mendez, an advocate for He, She, Z, and We, a local group serving families with transgendered loved ones in Virginia. Talia felt alone, angry, and isolated until she met Randy and Lynette Hall, a foster family from Henrico County. She met them at a restaurant. She remembers seeing Lynette's purple hair. "I like this family. They seem cool." So she has found a home now. But that's just a shocking statistic to me. 30% of children in foster care identify as LGBTQ plus. And I hope that we can do something in 2022 to address this issue, because it's a problem. It's a big problem. All right. Now, we had two deaths towards the end of the year. Well, a number of deaths that were sad. One of them is Desmond Tutu, who died on December the 26th. Desmond Tutu is being remembered for his passionate advocacy on behalf of the LGBTQ people, as well as his fight for racial justice in South Africa. Of course, Desmond Tutu is South African's archbishop, and his campaign against homophobia unfortunately had limited impact in the rest of Africa, where same-sex marriage remains illegal, and most countries criminalize gay sex. Even within his own denomination, the Anglican Communion, there has been no continent-wide embrace of LGBTQ rights. Leaders of Ghana's Anglican Church, for example, have joined other religious leaders therein endorsing a bill that would impose prison sentences on people who identify as LGBTQ or people that support that community. Before Tutu died last Sunday at age 90, most African religious leaders rejected his LGBTQ positions, and those who agreed with him were often cautious, said Kenya-based researcher Yvonne Wamari of Outright Action International, a global LGBTQ plus rights organization. Most of them are willing to offer their contrary views most of them are unwilling to offer their contrary views due to a fear of reprisal and backlash for not conforming with, quote, African values, Wamari said via email. As long as the religious leaders are unwilling to interpret the Bible from the lens of love for all, that's what Tutu did, homophobia and transphobia will remain a part of our lives. Homosexuality remains outlawed in more than 30 of Africa's 54 countries. In a few, it is punishable by death. Many LGBTQ Africans are subject to stigma and abuse, facing unemployment, homelessness, and estrangement from their families. And I have actually a video, a little interview that they did with Desmond Tutu when he speaks about LGBTQ discrimination. So I'm going to play that for you now. This is Desmond Tutu.
I have to tell you, cannot keep quiet when people are penalized for something about which they can do nothing. First, gender, when women are excluded just simply and solely because they are women. But more perniciously, more ghastly, is the fact that people are penalized, killed, all sorts of ghastly things happen to them simply and solely on the basis of their sexual orientation. I oppose such injustice with the same passion that I opposed apartheid.
How is Desmond Tutu? And I believe that was back in 2013. Desmond Tutu again passed away this past Sunday on December the 26th. Amazing leader, religious leader, leader of justice for rights for those of color in South Africa, but also for LGBTQ plus, lesser known. But I think that that's really amazing. Another wonderful person who passed away on New Year's Eve, and I'm sure you all know this, is Betty White. And Betty White, 99, although technically she could argue with leap years, if you counted up the number of days, she really was 100. she passed away on New Year's Eve. I think her literal birthday was supposed to be in 3 weeks. But she was a big supporter of gay rights. Obviously, she had a lot of gay fans. I have a friend who goes to sleep every night listening to the Golden Girls and has done so for the past 20 years, finds it soothing. But anyway, here's a quote from Betty White about gay rights. I don't care who anybody sleeps with. If a couple has been together all that time, and there are gay relationships that are more solid than some heterosexual ones, I think it's fine if they want to get married. I don't know how people can get so anti something. Mind your own business, take care of your own affairs, and don't worry about other people so much. That's Betty White. But more importantly than that is there's some other things that she did over the years and that the show, the Golden Girls, did over the years. And one in particular was a show that I never saw this, but it was a show where they tackled HIV. Betty's character had to have surgery. I think she had her gallbladder removed or something. But she had to get a transfusion. And it turned out that there was a possibility that she may have contracted HIV or AIDS from a transfusion. And they had a show on this. So I'm going to play a couple of little pieces of the show, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. So this is Blanche going with her as she goes to get her when she goes to get her HIV test. So hold on one second.
Can I help you?
I think so. I have a 2 o'clock appointment for an AIDS blood test. My name is... Well, it's...
You know, we encourage anonymity, so if you'd like to give us a fictitious name for our files...
Oh, that'd be great. Dorothy Zbornak.
Fine. We'll call you, and you'll be seeing a counselor and then the doctor. Meanwhile, just take a seat, Ms...
Zbornak. Dorothy Zbornak. Z-B...
Let's go, Dorothy.
So this is her giving a fictitious name, and she gives Dorothy's name. That's awesome. But the show continues, and I really want to focus on one particular piece of it, but we're going to play this whole thing, and then we'll talk about it on the backside. So this is Rose kind of dealing with waiting to get these test results, basically. So.
But I want you to know, I got tested too, so I know what you're going through.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I just had the test, and then I had a nice long talk with myself about being with so many men, and now when I'm with a man, I know his complete history, and we take all the necessary precautions. I just wanted you to know, I understand this is not an easy time.
Thank you, Blanche. Easy. Blanche, when you were tested, how did you make it through?
Just kept it to myself and acted like a real bitch to everybody else. Now, Rose, take it easy.
Why does everyone keep saying that? I don't feel like taking it easy. I might have AIDS, and it scares the hell out of me. And yet every time I open my mouth to talk about it, somebody says, there, Rose, take it easy.
I'm sorry, honey.
Why me, Blanche? I'm tired of pretending I feel okay so you won't say take it easy. And I'm tired of you saying take it easy because you're afraid I'm going to fall apart. Damn it, why is this happening to me? I mean, this isn't supposed to happen to people like me. You must have gone to bed with hundreds of men. All I had was one innocent operation.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you saying this should be me and not you?
No, I'm just saying that I am a good person. Hell, I'm a goody two-shoes.
AIDS is not a bad person's disease, Rose. It is not God punishing people for their sins.
You're right, Blanche.
Well, you damn straight I'm right.
Girls, listen, maybe we don't have everything we need.
Right, what are we missing?
Well, we are going away for a romantic weekend to the Bahamas with Jeff and Rich and Randy. In this day and age, it might be a good idea to take along some protection.
What kind of protection?
Two armed Pinkerton guards. No, Blanche is talking about...
A Nestle's Crunch?
One over.
An enema bag?
Well, you...
Again, that was, I'm sure you're aware, but that's the Golden Girls, and this was an episode about HIV. But I really thought that it was powerful, and it reminded me, and I'm sure a lot of you back in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, and even up to today when the younger generation, I don't worry about it anymore because I'm partnered, but and we're monogamous, but waiting around for an HIV test result is never good. It's never fun. And it's still not something that you want to get. It's better not to have it. But in these days, it seems to, you know, well, actually, it seems like it's not an issue anymore, but actually, as we've learned from some of the other shows that I've done, Atlanta is, I think, one of the top 10 cities in the country for new HIV infections. And if you're talking about Black trans women in the city, over 50% of them are HIV positive. So big deal. It's a big deal. It's still a problem. But anyway, I just wanted to play you that because I thought that that was really poignant and powerful, and because I think Betty White is really cool. And with that, we will be right back. And then I promise, when we come back, we'll get to our top 10 gay moments, our gay times of import in 2021. So we will be right back.
You are listening to WRFG Atlanta. WRFG provides a voice for those who have been traditionally denied access to broadcast media through a broad base of community elements to guarantee that access. In the utilization of the facilities and in its programs, the following communities will receive first priority. Those who continue to be denied free and open access to broadcast media, and those who suffer oppression or exploitation based upon class, race, sex, age, creed, sexual orientation, disability, or immigrant status.
To learn how you can support WRFG's mission, please go to WRFG.org.
All right, and we are back. You are listening to WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM on your dial. This is Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting the queer community, and I am definitely queer. I'm Greg Boston. I am your host, and we've just been going through some various news items, but what I wanted to do is to go through. You know, we are in the beginning of 2022, and so wanted to review this year's top 10 queerest moments. Now, this is in politics, not in anybody's personal life, not in entertainment, but in politics. All right. So the first thing that I wanted to say, and this happened on January the 25th of 2021, right after President Biden got into office, he signed an executive order lifting Donald Trump's transgender military ban. President Biden wasted no time repealing former President Trump's transgender military ban, signing an executive order on January the 25th that he said would allow all qualified Americans to serve their country in uniform. This was a ban that was in place for years and years, and then under the Obama administration, after the armed forces went through their own study, and the chiefs of staff of all of the branches of the military agreed that it wasn't going to be a problem. They took away the ban, and then idiot boy came into office and immediately put it back in. So, but Trump is gone now. Biden got in at the beginning of last year on January the 25th, and one of his first things that he did was lifted the ban on trans people serving in the military. And he did a little speech, so I'm going to play this for you.
Chance to get in here.
This is as he signed the military, the removal of the transgender military.
Folks, thank you very much for being here. I'm about to sign an executive order, but I want to begin by thanking the Vice President for helping this, but also thank Chairman Milley, who has been a great, great help, and also the soon-to-be Secretary of Defense, who, when we get finished this, will be sworn in a moment. And so don't say anything to cause him to change his mind, okay? But all kidding aside, this is reinstating a position that previous commanders and as well as secretaries have supported. And what I'm doing is enabling all qualified Americans to serve their country in uniform and essentially restoring the situation that existed before with transgender personnel, if qualified in every other way, can serve their government in the United States military. And so that's what I'm about to sign, and I'm going to get a chance, I'm told, a little later on another matter, later this afternoon when I speak to another order, to answer all your questions on a whole range of things, but I'm going to be going to the swearing-in shortly after this, okay? Thank you again. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
No, it's a long way to come. Thank
you, guys. Yeah.
That was January the 25th of 2021. So if you are upset these days with President Biden's inability to get stuff done, don't forget about this. All right. So that's the first of the top 10 queerest moments in politics. All right. The second thing that's relevant, it looks like I'm going to be doing these things in order of the year. This next thing happened on February the 3rd, and that is Mayor Pete, or Pete Buttigieg, was sworn in as the first openly gay cabinet member confirmed by the Senate. Mayor Pete made history this year as the first openly gay cabinet member in U.S. history confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Buttigieg was selected by Biden to serve as the transportation secretary. He was sworn in with his husband, Chasten Buttigieg, by his side. The two embraced at the completion of the swearing-in, which was conducted by Vice President Kamala Harris, which I think is really cool. And I don't know if you have been online, but both Mayor Pete and his husband have two children that they took pictures with in the White House and sent out to everybody. Boy, how times have changed. So that's number two. All right. The third top queerest moment in politics. And this is Rachel Levine, makes history as the first openly transgender federal official confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Dr. Rachel Levine has made history, and this happened on March the 26th. Dr. Levine has made history as the first openly transgender federal official to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Levine, who is formerly the Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania, is now serving as the Assistant Secretary for Health in the Department of Health and Human Services. She said she was honored to be sworn in and that her immediate focus was to help get the pandemic under control as well as address the underlying issues it brought to the surface in regards to inequities in mental health and drug addiction. So that's March the 26th. So very good there. All right. Next thing, this happened in April of 2021. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, withdrew a Trump-era proposal to gut equal access. In April of 2021, the department, so this is number four on our list of most important gay events politically in 2021. But in April of 2021, HUD, or the Department of Housing and Urban Development, withdrew proposed changes to the equal access rule that had been put forward by the Trump administration, thereby reasserting non-discrimination protections in HUD-funded housing and programs based on the sexual orientation, or gender identity. Housing discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity demands urgent enforcement action, said Acting Assistant Secretary FHEO Janine Warden in a statement announcing the department's plans back in February. That is why HUD, under the Biden administration, will fully enforce the Fair Housing Act to prohibit discrimination based on gender identity or sexual orientation. Every person should be able to secure a roof over their head, free from discrimination, and the action we are taking today will move us closer to that goal. This is especially important in a state like Georgia, where we live, where there is no statewide law banning discrimination in housing or in public spaces. There's no statewide law banning that in the state of Georgia. And so it's really important that the Department of Housing and Urban Development decide that they are going to enforce people who discriminate based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The Trump administration wanted to go a different way, and fortunately, Trump is gone. At least he's not in office anymore. He's most certainly not gone. But anyway, number five, this is the fifth in our list. And then we'll take a quick little break here. The fifth in our list of important political acts that occurred during 2021, U.S. expands birthright citizenship for babies born abroad to same-sex couples. This is another landmark move by the Biden administration. The U.S. State Department expanded birthright citizenship for babies born to same-sex couples living abroad, regardless of whether or not an American parent is biologically related to that said child. Under this policy, a child's U.S. citizenship will be recognized for babies born of both same-sex and opposite-sex parents, provided at least one of the parents is an American citizen. So this actually stems from a legal case where someone's child was denied citizenship because at that point, since the birth parents weren't American, this was done through in vitro fertilization or something. The child was denied citizenship because he was born, because they were living abroad. So that's been fixed now. So point is that if you have a child and you're gay and you're living abroad, you are an American citizen. You're just living abroad. your child is now an American citizen. Didn't used to be that way. Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. Biden administration. So this is, what are we at now? We're at five. I think that was five. So we got five more to go. Oh yeah. We were going to take a quick, little break here. So we will just do a break from, that and do a little, let's do a musical interlude, shall we? Then we'll come back with our last five important facts, important acts that occurred during 2021 that affect the gay community. We'll be right back. All right. That song, welcome back, by the way, to WRFG. This is Alternative Perspectives. That little song I was just playing is called Let the Music Play by Shannon, and it's like the first gay song that I ever listened to when I first came out of the closet so many years ago. But anyway, welcome to Alternative Perspectives. We are going through, we just have a few minutes left, by the way, and we are going through the top 10 political acts of 2021 that are relevant for those in the queer community. All right, so let's see. I'm just going to review the first five in case you're just joining us. Biden repeals the Trump military ban on trans. Pete Buttigieg became the first gay cabinet member confirmed by the Senate. Rachel Levine is the first openly transgender federal official confirmed by the U.S. Senate. She is the Assistant Secretary for Health in the DHHS now. Number four, HUD withdraws Trump-era proposal to gut equal access. So basically, you cannot be denied housing because of your sexual identity or sexual gender. That was something that Trump was trying to allow, but now that's not going to happen. All right. And then if you are gay and you are living overseas, even though you're an American citizen, your children will now be considered American citizens as well. That's something Biden did. All right. So we got five more to go. All right. Biden administration says Title IX protections apply to LGBTQ students. The Biden administration reversed another of the Trump administration's stance when the Department of Education issued a notice of interpretation that in its view, Title IX protects the rights of LGBTQ students against discrimination. The decision could impact the treatment of trans students when it comes to sports, as well as the use of bathrooms and lockers. The administration cited the Supreme Court's Bostick ruling that set the precedent that pre-existing federal civil rights law protects LGBTQ people under the prohibition of sexual discrimination. So this is kind of a big deal. And as we are trying to gain protections against being discriminated against, we are attempting to come under Title IX of the Civil Rights Law. And the Biden administration is supporting that position. So I think that that's awesome. All right. So here's another one. Congress votes to make the Pulse nightclub a national memorial. Congress passed a bill, and this was on June the 25th. Congress passed a bill to make the site of the Pulse massacre a national monument this year, and it was signed into law by President Biden over the summer. Biden was surrounded by survivors and family members of the mass shooting, which took 49 lives at the Pulse nightclub in Florida at an LGBTQ venue. Just over 5 years ago, the Pulse nightclub, a place of acceptance and joy, became a place of unspeakable pain and loss. We'll never fully recover from it, but we will remember. So very important. Congress, this is, what do we have here? We have just three more. So let's see. Congress, where is it? Okay. So, sorry about that. So creation of a new interagency working group for progress on transgender issues. The Biden administration announced at the end of Pride Month, which was June, that it was forming a new White House interagency working group on safety, inclusion, and opportunity for transgender Americans. The group includes participants from the Departments of Justice, HUD, HHS, Education, Homeland Security, Labor, Interior, Veterans Affairs, and Defense. So really making a statement here about the importance of working for transgender issues the Biden administration is doing, which is great. There are a record, this is number nine, a record-breaking number of anti-LGBTQ bills. So this is not something that's good, but it's nevertheless relevant for LGBTQ politics during 2021. With progress comes an inevitable backlash, sadly, and 2021 proved to be very true when it comes to this. This year saw a record number of anti-LGBTQ bills filed in state legislatures, as well as record-breaking numbers such bills passing. So we need to be careful about this. They include laws providing transgender youth with health, against providing transgender youth health and welfare, and banning trans kids from playing organized sports. So not good. We got one more thing, and then we got a scoot. Two big Supreme Court rulings. Since we didn't want to end on a low note here. The Supreme Court issued two big rulings impacting the LGBTQ community this year in Arlene Flowers versus Washington State, where a florist refused to offer services to a same-sex couple for their wedding. The High Court denied a review of the case, leaving a ruling in place by the Washington Supreme Court. That lower court decided that the flower shop's objection on faith-based groups did not grant it the right to discriminate. And then two, this is another Supreme Court case in Fulton versus Philadelphia. A court considered whether a religiously affiliated foster care agency could ignore a clause in its contract with the city of Philadelphia that stipulated that it could not discriminate against prospective parents based on religious grounds. The court issued a narrow ruling similar to the one in the Masterpiece Cake Shop ruling, based on what the ACLU described as a quirk in Philadelphia's non-discrimination contract that the court interpreted as failing to treat all city contractors equally. It did not make a ruler on the larger issue of the right to religious freedom versus the right to not discriminate against LGBTQ. So this is going to continue this fight, religious freedom versus the rights of the LGBTQ. But anyway, with that, that is the end of our show. It's also the end of well, it's already the end of 2021, but it is also the first show of 2022. Let's make it a good one. Let's make sure that we mask. I would really appreciate it if you could do that, because or get vaccinated and test yourself so that you know whether or not you have COVID so you don't spread it. We'll end with something nice and calm. See you next week.
You're listening to WRFG Atlanta. To become a WRFG supporter, please visit wrfg.org.